Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Your insurance company may have written your policy, but they don't decide the law. Call the Wallace Firm now at 844-844-WINS. By holding insurance accountable, the Wallace Firm is helping our community rebuild. That's 844-844-WINS or visit wallacewins.com. Proud partner of Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN. All right, thank you to Om Youngmasuk, who joined the show, covers the NBA for ESPN. I love his perspective. He's got some great personal stories that he can reference, that he can talk about. He's done a great job, obviously, covering the NBA for years now. So I got to go back real quick. I mentioned this, the could be crowd noise, NBA 2K video game sounds during these games. Jess Curtis, I know you guys are the professionals when it comes to video games. Let me get both your thoughts here. So let me set this up first, okay? The way I'd set it up is this. We all know there's no games. We all know, obviously, that's not happening. I'm sorry, that there's no fans. We know whatever the arena is going to look like, but this is going to be different. It's the first time this has ever happened, so there's going to be an extreme amount of curiosity. As a sports fan, you're sitting on your couch. Do you want to hear fan noise, or do you think that's just going to – it's going to be completely – just won't be authentic? Curtis, give me your thoughts real quick on if you want to hear fan noise or not, fake fan noise.
I'm fine with it only because the NBA – the 2K noise is actually pretty realistic. I know they have different ones for the different locations. The different stadiums you go to have different sounds, which is pretty cool. But I believe Jess has a good point for this, but it's you have to do it right, because if you don't do it right, it's just going to cheapen it and it's going to draw attention to it. But they also have a really good opportunity to I forgot what it was we saw this in, but like more weird, like sideline interview bits, like you can, there's ways to get involved. They just, you know, they need to do something as well, because they can't just go.
You know what I accidentally mentioned, Curtis? I kept saying mic up the players, mic up the coaches. Here's the reality. You don't have to mic anybody up, right? There's no noise. So everybody's going to hear everything that's going on. So it's not going to be a problem.
You'll hear some shoe squeaking too.
Even in summer league, you'll hear kind of a lot more of what's typically going on, but that's still, you're still in an arena. You know, I think it's the Cox, Las Vegas, one of the, exactly. And the Thomas and Mac, I think, was the other
one.
Whatever it is, right? So they're playing there. But this is the point that I was trying to make. And Jess, you could tell me what you think. But the point I was trying to make is, if we already know there aren't fans there, I don't know, aren't you going to be sitting on your couch like, yeah, well, I know there's no fans. So why don't you just try and take advantage of the fact that there isn't fans and see if you could play that to your advantage?
Yeah, so the NBA has an incredible opportunity that they can experiment. And I don't know how much this has kind of been talked about within them, is that, you know, they can try and they can fail. With the crowd noise,
100% they can. Yeah, they can.
You're and right. I think mm-hmm. part of me feels like they might be afraid to do that. They might want to like just set establishment and like set rules and be like, no, this is what we're going to do. But it's not really the time for that. You need to experiment to see what's going to work, because we've
NBA would be more open to experimenting and then admitting that they're wrong or it didn't work, rather than maybe some of the other sports. But
yeah,
you as a fan sitting on the couch, do you want to hear crowd noise or no?
Truthfully, I need to experience it first. If they pump the crowd noise through like the TV feed, so you know people watching it at home hear it, I think that's okay. I'd actually want to see that, because it doesn't distract from the players. We only hear it. So the players, and you know what, too, it can probably cover up some of those hush hush words when the players on the court too. You can just kind of mm-hmm. you can do that to be covered. So
yeah, maybe that's one of their concerns.
Yeah, maybe they're doing that to just justify that, and I think that's the way to do it. If you do it through like the speakers in the arena,
I don't think they would do that. I hope not. I think players would be like,
that's like something the NFL would do.
But don't you think players would be like, turn this off? What are you guys doing? you know, Ricky Rubio scored and the crowd's really that entertained. It's not gonna, it won't match, like it won't jive. But listen, that's one of the things that I mentioned a couple different times that we'll have to, we'll just kind of have to sit back. That will be one of the options that's going to play out for the NBA. And they got those preseason games. They also got those regular season games. But before, I want to go back to the original point that I was making before we went to break. So there's going to be six different teams trying to play the Lakers in the first round. Phone number is 877-710-ESPN. From a pure entertainment perspective, which of those six teams in play for the eighth seed would you like to see the Lakers face? So the teams, we know them. At least if you listen to me, you probably are sick of hearing them. Okay, but I'll break them all down for you real quick. The Spurs. Definitely wouldn't be exciting, by the way. Lakers were 3-0 against them during the preseason. LaMarcus Aldridge, they just announced that he has shoulder surgery. He's going to be out the remainder of the season. So I got no interest in seeing the San Antonio Spurs. Don't get me wrong. Greg Popovich, one of the greatest coaches to ever do it in any sport, trying to make the postseason for the 23rd straight season. That's insane. Obviously, he's trying to continue his own record. That's one of the options. The San Antonio Spurs, they're one of the 22 teams invited. Okay, here's another team. The Phoenix Suns. Personally, I think most people know this wouldn't be any competition at all. I think Lakers would just dismantle them. Devin Booker, a nice player, but it would be a ton of ISO basketball, a ton of isolation basketball. Not really any other players on that team. DeAndre Ayton is nice. Ricky Rubio is okay, but not that exciting of a matchup. So I personally don't have any interest in the Spurs, the Phoenix Suns. Okay. The other team, I think it's just average. The Memphis Grizzlies. I'm actually putting Memphis in that category. Ja Morant is nice. Don't get me wrong. He's going to win Rookie of the Year. But I have Memphis third on this list. Really, what are their players after that? And there's no history with the Lakers, you know? Jaren Jackson Jr. is a nice player. He'll be healthy. They're fun, but there's no storylines between the Lakers and the Memphis Grizzlies. Okay. So that leaves three other teams remaining. The Sacramento Kings, the Portland Trailblazers, and the New Orleans Pelicans. When we come back, I'll tell you the team that I'm most looking forward to play in the first round. Plus, I have a ton of people that responded on Twitter, so I do want to read some of these as well. If you want to give your thoughts, 877-710-ESPN. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. All right, so the three teams that I least look forward to playing in the first round, the Spurs, the Suns, and the Memphis Grizzlies. I'm putting Memphis on that list. I might be on an island here. I just think there's no storylines with Memphis. What's the storyline? Ja Morant's nice, up-and-coming player. Got no history, nothing with the Memphis Grizzlies. I think that's probably why I put Sacramento in. First of all, I put Sacramento in for a couple reasons. Number one, it's the Sacramento Kings. Lakers have long-time history. It's another team in the state of California. Luke Walton was the former coach of the Lakers, so I think that kind of has an interesting storyline. And they got some nice young players. Buddy Hield, De'Aaron Fox, Marcus Bagley, Bogdan Bogdanovic. So I do think that that would be more exciting matchup than facing the Memphis Grizzlies. But it's really going to come down to, what's your preference? Do you want to see the Portland Trailblazers or do you want to see the Pelicans? At Fate Tenali says Pelicans, the story, the drama, and the remarkable talent on both sides. K Fury 21, pure entertainment, New Orleans. Toughest matchup, Portland. Warm up, the rest. No need to respond. Let's get it. So listen, when I say that there's only two teams that it really comes down to, it's kind of what your preference is. Do you want to see some young, incredible, athletic players that have never been in this position before? I'm talking about Zion Williamson. I'm talking about Brandon Ingram. And I'm obviously talking about Lonzo Ball. Yes, they got Jrue Holiday. They got J.J. Redick. They got some other pieces as well, but those are their main pieces. That's an intriguing one to me. Why wouldn't it be? Brandon Ingram played for the Lakers for 3 years. Lonzo was with the Lakers for 2 years. Of course, that's intriguing. Those two players. And they're incredibly inexperienced. So there is a curiosity how they would do in the postseason. I already probably know how they would do. They would struggle. Your first year ever playing in the playoffs, yeah, it would be extremely difficult. And then Zion is that's box office. That's one of the biggest players in the game, and he hasn't even played a full season. So that part, of course, is going to be interesting. But the Zion part of it, there's a lot of Laker fans that would be fine with seeing Zion. A lot of Laker fans would be fine with seeing New Orleans. But there's also the personal relationship with some of these other players that are on the team. Melanie Johnson on Twitter, New Orleans. It would be good to see the young fellas again. Josh Turbury on Twitter. Anyone but Dame and CJ. Okay, let me go to that one real quick. Let me go to Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum and the Portland Trailblazers. That, no question about it, would be the toughest matchup. Nothing wrong with it. I mean, if, you know, Portland had a lot of injuries this year, plus they were underperforming, but this is what Portland has. They got a solid roster. CJ McCollum is a fantastic basketball player. Carmelo can have a night where he gives you 15. Okay, maybe I'm going a little too far with Carmelo. Hassan Whiteside's there. Trevor Ariza's there. The health of Yusuf Nurkic and Zach Collins, these guys are going to be coming back. And then, of course, Damian Lillard, who can drop 50 on any night. That would be as good as any first-round matchup in the NBA. So that's the typically, if you're the number one seed, number one and number eight aren't good matchups. You just don't see too much, you know, not enough star power for number eight. Portland's unique in that sense. A lot of the tweets that I was getting back was simply Redondo Mike, Portland since Nurkic would be back. Carlos G, the easiest path is the best, which Carlos, I'm with you on that, and that's a great point. But we're playing this game on entertainment value. When you kind of start looking at the strengths that the Portland Trailblazers have, and you start looking at the fact that they're going to have a couple of their main players back, and I'm talking about more from a defensive standpoint, some big guys to try and go up against JaVale and Dwight and Anthony Davis. That's why this Portland matchup would be so interesting. The Lakers, you can make the argument where we're weakest is our backcourt, right? Our front court is our strength. It's LeBron and it's Anthony Davis. I know LeBron isn't necessarily down low all the time. Of course not. And I know LeBron can guard multiple positions. But Dame and CJ are the best players for the Portland Trailblazers. That's their strength. For the Lakers, it's typically our other positions that are our strengths. So that's what would make the Lakers versus Portland most the best competition. But from a pure entertainment value, I take my chances with the Pelicans. I'd enjoy that. Plus, I think for the Lakers, I think they would, you know, they'd beat them in five games. So I think it would be a combination of getting a chance to see entertainment, but also on top of that, you're playing a team that you know you're going to get through just because these kids are so young. They literally have, they have such little experience, but most of them have no experience ever in the postseason. Thomas FX Sullivan, as a Laker fan, hard pass on Portland. I feel you. I know what you're saying. Lakers will be fine either way. Even if they faced, even if they faced Portland in the first round, I think one of the things that some Oma and I were talking about, it's not that big of a deal. Yes, they might have a little trouble. Yes, Portland's going to do everything they can just to get in, but the Lakers would get through the Portland Trailblazers, and then they'd go on to face whoever they have to face. The good thing is these are the conversations that we get right now, and this is certainly you know, something that we'll keep hitting on as we get closer to the season starting. 710 ESPN wants to salute all of our frontline workers as part of our Thank You Thursdays presented by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. If you know someone who is working as a healthcare provider, firefighter, EMS worker, or a food service professional, nominate him or her today. Here's how you do it. Email the station ESPNLAMarketing@ESPN.com with the first and last name, city, and occupation. Or just post a short video on Instagram or Twitter and include hashtag 710 Thank You Thursdays. Every Thursday, we'll interview a frontline worker and award them a $500 thank you gift to include, $200 service to Valvoline Instant Oil Change, $100 gift card to Wingstop, VSLiquor.com, and Shooteria. Shootout coming up next. Appreciate you guys tuning in. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN. All right, Andy Kamenitsky coming up a little bit later in the show. But let's get Shootout started. All right, just a quick reminder, Shootout always presented by the Wallace Firm. Your insurance company may have written your policy, but they don't decide the law. Call 844-844-WINS for a free consultation and review of your policy to see if you are eligible for compensation for lost revenue. Appreciate the Wallace Firm's partnership. Fellas, hope you guys had a good weekend. Curtis, talk to me. How's your weekend, buddy?
It was good. It was good. It went by way too quickly.
Way too quick. I'm with you.
That's usually the case, unfortunately. Yes. But now that we're, you know, now that Jess and I are with you Monday through Friday, mm-hmm. well, the weekend's my only time to get, like, stuff done. So yep. it's not as, not that it's not as enjoyable, but it's like, I gotta get stuff done first before I can actually have fun. You know what I mean?
So you're not just kicking back the entire time?
No, not
all grown.
If I don't, yeah, if I don't, I'm not gonna have anything
done. Look at Curtis adulting. I'm proud of you, Curtis.
Only took 28 years.
Jess, what'd you do this weekend?
So the weekend did go by really fast. I actually went to Costco yesterday and I had quite a time.
You went Costco yesterday. I went Costco Saturday.
It's crazy being in there, isn't it?
Which one did I go to? I went to the one in, Alhambra. So I was out there.
Hey, I was out. That's the one I went to. I went to two on Sunday, believe it or not. I went to that one, the one in Alhambra. And then I went to the one in,
that was a zoo.
Yes, it is.
No one's looking at, like, there is a, let me say this. When you have your cart at Costco, there's a certain cart.
Etiquette?
Yes. Okay. All right. So I don't know if people understand that or if they don't. But can anybody who goes to Costco, can you please do me a favor? If you're going to get on your phone and you're looking at a text message or you're reading some website or whatever the case is, all good. Do it as long as you want. Can you pull over to the side? Can you just pull over to the side? You got your cart. Why are you stopping in the middle on a Saturday? People get in. Actually, that's right. They don't do samples anymore. I was going to say do samples. No. That's actually, I just realized.
Oh, that was the worst. Imagine if they still did samples. I'll forget about it.
You can't do that now. Oh, but man, just grab your cart. Go down one of the aisles. Just spend 10 more seconds taking it down. And the traffic is moving. I don't know what people are doing with these cars. I swear I'm not kidding here. I'm not kidding here. And it was kind of more
entertaining. We need to start putting lanes.
But here's the thing. It was actually more entertaining than anything else. The dude actually hit my cart. Like, he churned, hit my cart, no eye contact, and just kept going. I'm like, what?
He asserted his dominance.
Where am I?
That sounds like Alhambra. Alhambra Costco. It's true. I went to Monterey Park. That was the other Costco I went to. But I've been to like three or four different Costcos, and I cannot find chicken. I've been looking for the Costco chicken forever. I follow a page on Instagram called Costco Deals because I'm trying to find the chicken.
And I'm out of chicken. You are very passionate about this.
I love – chicken is my protein. I've been living off ground turkey and – ground turkey. I mean, ground turkey is good. My girlfriend makes some good
ground
turkey.
That's not a bad option. That's not
chicken.
A bad option.
No, it's not. But, you know, I like variety. I don't mind eating the same thing, but I like, you know,
I know
the same thing with a little different thing every day.
You keep having it the same time it gets old. Well, I'll say this. The one thing I did notice at Costco, by the way, you said you went to the same one. We went to the same one. They had everything on Saturday. So my suggestion is don't go on Sunday. Go on Saturday because – every aisle that you went, and I'm talking paper towel, no problem. Plenty of water. Remember about 2 months ago, you go to try and get rice from anywhere. You know, those big, you know, they have like those big.
Oh, yeah. I stocked up on rice.
Not that I was buying that, but like they were stocked on everything that they hadn't had over the last couple months. So I guess what we're learning right now, Curtis, is next time you go to Costco – don't do what Jesse did. Go on Saturday, not Sunday. And watch your
Saturday.
Cart.
Shopping, I will find a way to do before I have to leave work during the week, just because that's one of those things where you know it's going to be busy, and I don't even want to be a part of it. So I'll probably do it like on a Wednesday or something, and then just stock up.
All right, Jess, what do you got there?
All right, so I sent you guys the link. PK Air Designs. He's a huge Disney and NBA fan. He decided, since the NBA is going to Walt Disney World, he creates some Disney NBA mashups, basically adding Disney
characters. Bro, how smart is that?
To NBA teams. You know, you have Mickey Mouse as the Boston Celtics. You have Winnie the Pooh as the Memphis Grizzlies. You have, you know, the silhouette of Mickey Mouse as the Lakers with the Los Angeles. It's very simple, but I love it. That's my favorite one so far. Not because I'm a Laker fan, because of the simplicity.
How about the Bucks? How about the Bucks with Bambi?
The Bucks with Bambi's good.
Timberwolves,
I like,
as
Pumbaa.
Lion King. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Toronto one's a sleeper for sure.
Oh,
I'm
yeah,
a big
Rex.
Fan of that one.
Rex from Toy Story is
really
Toronto Raptors.
Really good one.
So, you know, there's only a handful of them, but I mean, those are pretty dope. But this is, I think we're going to see a bunch of different artists come out with stuff like this in the coming weeks.
So does somebody want to tell at PK Air Designs, is that what they're called? Or is this an individual person or a company?
It's a person, and he has she has a page on, she's from, Australia. Those Aussies, man, they're good artists.
Boss Logic, does somebody want to tell her what's wrong with this page? Just think about the teams. What's wrong with
the
this
fact
page?
That that's what I thought too. The fact that the Lakers and the Celtics both have Mickey on it, it's like it's got to be one or the other, man.
Nope, not that. That's not what I'm talking about. Timberwolves ain't going into Orlando. Chicago Bulls won't be there as well. Neither will the Golden State Warriors.
So, yes, I did notice that. However, if you go to her Instagram, PK Air Designs, she has a bunch more. She has, you know, it's a collage of different posts throughout her page. She has Orlando Magic, which is the sorcerer hat, Mickey.
They will be there.
The Clippers logo, I think, might have become my favorite because it's the generic, you know, the Clippers. But then instead of LA, it has the Pirates of the Caribbean skull with two pirate ships.
This on Instagram? I don't see it on Instagram. I see
search
Capri Sun.
Search PK Air Designs.
I'm on it. I'm on her. I'm on her Instagram right now.
Are you sure?
I think because I'm not logged. Oh, okay. I got you.
Miami Heat is Ariel. That's great.
This is.
I'm gonna follow her.
Honestly, genius. Like it's a incredibly smart, creative. Design that obviously is going to play really, really well with Disney and all these games being over there. But that's unique. That's very different. And if you're going to be at Disney World and the NBA is going to be there for, you know, a few months, that is a incredibly smart branded NBA/Disney theme.
Yeah, definitely. I'm excited to see it. Everyone's going to have their own two cents. And, you know, a bunch of artists are going to create a bunch of different stuff. So I'm going to be excited to see all the art that's coming. That's just the first one. First of many to come.
Okay, so I got a quick question for the both of you. Which of those matchups that I was setting up there, eighth seed for the Lakers, which one do you want to see happen? I mean, which one are you – listen, as a Laker fan – you're always looking for the easiest path. But let's just take the easiest path out of the equation for a second. Let's look at just keeping in mind the entertainment value of this whole thing. Which matchup do you think would be most entertaining, Jess? Which of those six potential matchups? Really, it's coming down to two or three. And that's it.
I'm torn between the Blazers and the Pelicans. The Blazers, you got – being Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum.
Yeah, fun matchup. That's a fun matchup.
That would be insane to watch. But as a Laker fan, I don't want to see that, but I would love to see that. But at the same time, the Pelicans, you have
Lakers would beat Portland. Don't worry. They would beat them. It wouldn't be – they would – Portland would probably make them go six, but that would be
see, it would be like that. I don't want to have that fear and that anxiety in the first round of the playoffs, Alan. I like
how
to
about
say
that? That. How about that's only like, the first round? The first round?
No, let's not do that. But
hey, Jess, what a mess were we
during Laker games, just during the regular season, how many times would you be on the other side of the glass? It's like a Laker road game, right? And we're just sitting in the studio. We got the TVs all set up. But it's like game 41 of the season, and, you know, we both look like we're just nervous as if it's game 7. You know what I mean? Like, I can't, yeah. I can only imagine what the playoffs are going to be like.
Yeah, so I don't want to deal through that in the first round of the playoffs. But at the same time, I mean, the Pelicans, that's essentially the future of the NBA. Zion, B.I., Zoe, not to mention AD on the other side. There's so much story, and there's so much, you know, potential for a lot of, like, you know, drama, which is, and like, sure, TV entertainment that the NBA wants. I think that's what the NBA is kind of hoping for. But I mean, I think the most entertaining would be the Pelicans, just because there's so much more to talk about. But the competitiveness would definitely be the Trailblazers. But as a Laker fan, I want to see the Pelicans. As an NBA fan, I want to see the Blazers. I'll leave it at that.
Curtis, what's your thoughts on that?
You know, as a Laker fan on this end, I would love for it to be Sacramento, because that's just the perfect balance of.
By the way, underrated. Underrated one.
That was my first thought, because you want the storylines and a game that's not too difficult. Obviously, you know, Sacramento's nowhere near going to even get close, but just, you know, the fact that they have Luke and some of the other, you know, the history with Sacramento, I think you brought that up before. I think there's enough to go there to where it's like just safe. But yeah, pure entertainment, it's got to, for me, it's the Pelicans for sure. But Sacramento's what I'm hoping for.
It's underrated. You know, it was, if I have some time a little bit later in the show, I'll try and get into this. But that was actually one of my favorite, and I know for most Laker fans, you had these incredible matchups against the Kings back in the days. And Howard Beck, Bleacher Report, had an article last week talking about the Kobe to Shaq lob. It was the 20-year anniversary. I think it was last Thursday. And one of the questions on there, it wasn't even a question. It was a response that Ori had, that Shaquille O'Neal had, that between all the teams that the Lakers faced in their three-peat, Portland was actually the toughest in 2000, when many thought it was the Sacramento Kings, like you're referencing to right now, Curtis, that, you know, that history, that Kings team, 61-21, finished first in the Pacific Division. Lakers had to go to Sacramento and win game 7. But that obviously makes for a team that actually has some kind of history. That's why I don't put Memphis in there. I'm like, there's no, I don't really know what the storylines are. Yeah, John Morant's nice.
That'd be the only story.
But there's no history there. But either way, it puts us all in a position where we talk about basketball, we get a little bit closer to basketball.
Oh, so, I found another tie for Memphis. They didn't trade Iggy to the Lakers. Ha! There's the other one.
Okay, use that one. They didn't.
Definitely can.
They didn't. By the way, remember where Miami was? Everyone was concerned. Is Andre Iguodala going to get enough time to come back? Is he going to be okay? Blah, 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 all this stuff. Yeah, I think he's going to be fine. I think he's now has the exact same amount of time as everybody else. Yeah, all right, we got AK coming up, fellas. AK coming up. Andy Kamenitsky, who does the happy hour show on social. He'll be doing that actually tonight. I'll actually be doing Lakers Talk on Twitter tonight as well. But he had a good article. We obviously all know that he also writes for The Athletic. So he had a good article. And it is specifically on the Lakers' first-round matchups to not even bother with, avoid, and hope for. So we'll get into that coming up next. Andy Kamenitsky will be a part of Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.
GEICO has the insurance industry-leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
GEICO, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
I was reading something a little bit earlier that there were some teams that were upset that they can't finish off the season. 22 teams are going to the postseason, or not going to the postseason, but 22 teams are obviously going to finish off somewhat of a regular season and then eventually get to the postseason. The complaint is that it puts these teams at a competitive disadvantage because they're going to be off for 8 months, let's say, hypothetically. What do you want the league to do?
What do you want them to do? 22 teams are invited. Think about the teams that are not going to make it. They literally have zero chance of making the postseason, and we should be worried about the Chicago Bulls making it or one of these other teams to be invited. I think the NBA did the right thing there. All right, we got Andy Kamenitsky from The Athletic and obviously with 710 ESPN. AK, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Good, Alan. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I think you were trying to get connected with one of our lines. I took all the lines, Andy. I just want you to know that. I have multiple lines that I use.
Well, I mean, it is the Alan Sliwa show. The Sliwa, there is no other name attached. So if I were you, I'd Bogart all those Comrexes too.
Four lines. Every segment I dial into a different one. I just dial into a different one.
I would, if I were you, I would jam up all the Comrex lines before Mason and Ireland go on, and do the first attack, hit them first.
That's a great point.
Before they can even bleep with you, Alan.
Then first. I could tell Mason, just call into your show. Just call in.
Yeah,
it's fine.
Yeah,
just call
absolutely.
In. Okay, so you got an article right now in The Athletic: Lakers first round matchups to not even bother with, avoid, and hope for. So we know that there are six different scenarios that can play out for the Lakers. Each team offers a different style, strength, weakness. I think it's safe to say there's certain teams that you don't think would be a matchup at all, and there's probably also a great likelihood that they will not end up with the eighth seed. But just as we kind of go through this, let's go through each one of these teams. We know that it's the Suns, the Spurs, Sacramento Kings, the Pelicans, the Blazers, and then the Memphis Grizzlies, who currently sit in the eighth seed. What do you think of that matchup, hypothetically, if they face the Phoenix Suns?
Oh, God, that's a waste of everyone's time.
I know.
I mean, really. That, like,
be like an exhibition.
They're 13 games below 500. Like, it's a reach that they're involved with this. And honestly, given the concerns that are trying to be navigated with, you know, COVID-19 and this ecosystem that they're trying to keep as clean as possible, I would argue it's kind of irresponsible to be including Phoenix in this. I mean, just, I get the idea of
how far should they have gone? How far you think should they have gone? 20 teams. Yeah.
I would have kept the eight teams in the East, the same eight teams that they have. I get the idea of trying to want Bradley Beal in this thing. Maybe 21. I think Phoenix is a complete joke in this thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'd have gone any further down if you're really doing this in terms of pure, sort of balancing pure need with the pure commerce. I could see maybe not going past Portland and New Orleans. But if you want to include Sacramento, you want to include San Antonio, okay. I mean, I think they've been sort of meh. You know, I mean, maybe solid meh enough that you could talk yourself into including them, but there's really no need for Phoenix. And honestly, unless you really just want Bradley Beal, who is a bigger star than anybody on the Magic in this thing, truth be told, they got 5.5 games to make up. They're not likely going to make this thing either. So I think 20 would have been probably the best way.
The best number.
You talk yourself into. Yeah.
So, Andy, which team do you want to go over from 1980 season of the Suns or the of Washington? Which one do you prefer? And then we could just go through every year for the last 30.
Well, I mean, you know.
You just tell me. It's been 40 years.
Are we making the cutoff in terms of when Washington was the Bullets? Like, does that change the calculus on any of this?
Doesn't change it. We spend more time on it.
Okay, well, you know, if you go back to 1980, you're not that far removed from the Bullets having won a championship.
There you go.
That greatly changes everything that's going on with it.
And that's the question I wanted to ask you. Will that momentum ride for Washington and they go for the number eight seed? Okay, we're done with the Suns. That's it. Enough of the Suns. Spurs, that's, what little chance they may have had in just trying to make some kind of noise. LaMarcus Aldridge, it was announced today, will be out rest of the season for a shoulder surgery. What do you think of the Spurs' chances of making any noise? Is it similar to, as you're referencing, to the Suns? Or, no, it's different. Greg Popovich is looking for his 23rd straight season in the postseason.
I think if you were sort of looking to give Popovich just credit for the body of his work, and obviously the body of his work is among the best coaches to ever enter the association. You would give him maybe the perfunctory Greg Popovich chess match, blah, 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 as I wrote in the piece. But the truth is, the Spurs have been dreadful defensively. They've been a bottom 10 team in a bunch of different categories. They also don't generate steals. And while steals aren't necessarily indicative of great defense, in this case, it's problematic because if they don't turn over whoever they're playing, that means you're giving that team more opportunities to score against you when scoring against you isn't that hard. And the Lakers averaged 115 points in their three wins against San Antonio this year. So it's like, I think between Popovich, DeRozan, DeJounte Murray is a very good, rising two-way point guard, but they're really not that much better than Phoenix. I think Greg Popovich's presence will make it so you never just completely dismiss him, but the truth is they're not a very good team.
When you say, AK, Andy Kamenitsky joined in Lakers talk, Andy, when you mentioned that it is they average 115 points a game through those three games, I was trying to think back. I'm like, I don't know what games I remember. Like, I literally don't, and I'm just talking about not just Lakers versus Spurs. Doesn't it seem so long ago that we watched the basketball game, let alone actually was at Staples Center? It's like mind-boggling to go back now and check the standings and actually have some of these basketball conversations.
Dude, Alan, when I was writing this piece, because I've been writing a lot during this period where there's been no basketball for The Athletic, but we've had to do a lot of different things like, take creative looks at, past Lakers teams, or sort of looking back at what had happened for individual players with the Lakers this season. I wrote a piece about Saved by the Bell and why A.C. Slater was the greatest greatest athlete actor, I should say, in television history.
But okay, why is that? I want to know, why is that?
He was all city in four sports: wrestling, football, basketball, and track. By the way, wrestling and basketball done at the same time, concurrent. So that's hell of a gruel. He was an accomplished dancer in everything from hip-hop to ballet to, like, pop and lock type stuff. He would have every summer he'd go to the Malibu Sands Beach Club, and he'd hold his own against all these Southern California kids who grew up playing volleyball, Alan. He didn't do that because A.C. Slater was a military brat, and he grew up all over the world. And, you don't learn a lot of volleyball in Iceland, one of the places that he lived, or Germany. So he got a wrestling scholarship. He got an offer for a wrestling scholarship to Iowa. Like, that is a Tiffany program, Alan. Like,
of course.
It's the equivalent of getting like a full ride to play football at Alabama. Mm-hmm. So it's not out of the question that A.C. Slater could have been on an Olympic track. Like, I mean, really, I challenge you, and I know television is not your wheelhouse, Alan, but I challenge you to name a character in the history of TV that was a more accomplished, more dominant athlete than A.C. Slater. You can't come up with it.
Listen, last I checked, Al Bundy had four touchdowns in a game.
Yeah, I know.
At Polk High.
I talked about that. But it's one game.
It was a big game.
Sure, but one game does not a career make.
Listen, Andy, I don't want to have this argument over the air.
I do. That's the thing, is I do.
let's do this. When we come back, I want to finish your list because we still got the Kings.
Okay.
We got the Pelicans, Blazers, and the Grizzlies. Andy Kamenitsky joining Lakers Talk. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN. All right, Andy Kamenitsky joining Lakers Talk. AK was just making a case that he wanted all 30 teams in the playoffs. That's what AK was saying. AK said all the lottery teams should be in the postseason. Do you want to expand on that, Andy?
Well, I would take it a step further, Alan, and I don't appreciate you mischaracterizing what I said without adding all the details. I would throw the current seating out the window.
Uh-huh.
I would just start from scratch. Because I feel like there's been so much time away from basketball. Like, there's been such a time off that really you can't restart it.
You can't.
So
no, you can't. That's it.
I would start the season back over again, and you just play all 82 games, but no breaks. Just 82 back to back.
All in Orlando. In just one big bubble. Okay, we're going through. AK has a article right now on The Athletic. Lakers first round matchups to not even bother with, avoid, and hope for. So we went through the Suns, the Spurs. I think everybody would agree. Let's hope those two matchups, or it's highly likely those two will not be a part of the mix. How about Luke Walton and the Sacramento Kings? I think that's actually a very underrated matchup. I think there's some good storylines there. I think there's some really nice young talent that the Kings have. What kind of a matchup would that be if they face the Lakers?
Well, it's hard to say, Alan, because the Kings actually were playing really well before the season was suspended. They won 7 of their last 10. They went 13-7 ever since Buddy Hield got moved to the bench. Big contract extension and all. It was a pretty gutsy move by Luke Walton, but the team responded well. De'Aaron Fox is also playing really well since the All-Star break. But it's still not certain whether or not Marvin Bagley would be there. But I think the problem with figuring out the Kings is they've been schizophrenic all year, and they have been all over the place. So I feel like they're a team that even if they somehow manage to beat the odds and snag that 8 seed, mm-hmm. I still wouldn't, I wouldn't be convinced that they wouldn't regress back to form over the course of that series. I mean, the Luke Walton of it all does make it interesting. And, you know, having covered Luke for a while, I guarantee he would love the idea of going up against this team. But truth be told, the Lakers are, that's a gentleman's sweep waiting to happen mm-hmm. at best. I mean, the Lakers are just that much better than them.
Okay, how about the team that's currently there? The Memphis Grizzlies, who have, they have, this best way I could put it, they've earned a spot to, obviously if this season just played out the way it was and the stoppage didn't happen, they were one of the more unique stories in the NBA. I think actually teams like Portland was a shock that they were that far back, but Memphis was a team that hung around, they stayed there, and here we are. They have the greatest likelihood of staying, obviously, in that 8th spot. What kind of matchup do you think the Lakers and the Grizz would have?
You know, I wrote about this in the piece, Alan, that it's not a total apples-to-apples comparison because the 2010 Thunder were further along in their development. You know, Kevin Durant had been in the league for, I think, 3 or 4 seasons at that point, Russell Westbrook a couple seasons. But I remember I covered that series when the Lakers played the Thunder in the first round, and the Thunder pushed them 6 games, and all the Lakers involved, you know, including Kobe, all said, like, this is the time to beat this team because you're not going to be beating them much longer. Like, you're not going to be keeping this team from making deep playoff runs for much longer. And 2 years later, that team
that
went
to the finals.
Mm-hmm. Right. They were – you could see, like, that series was kind of a watershed moment for them in terms of their development. And I don't think this Grizzlies team is there yet. But Ja Morant is a star in the making. I mean, he is just – he deserves that rookie of the year that I think he's going to win. He's been spectacular this year. Jaren Jackson Jr. is a really good complement for him as a big man that can score both inside and take advantage of Morant's playmaking, but he can also stretch the floor. He shoots almost 40% from 3. And then they've got good young complementary pieces in Brandon Clark and Dylan Brooks, D'Anthony – Melton, and this team is further ahead than anybody expected them. Hmm. So while I don't think they necessarily could push the Lakers probably past 5 games, I think what could be most interesting about this series is they're an entertaining team to watch, but this could also end up a series that you look back on in a few years and say, okay, that was an interesting moment in this core's development if the Grizzlies can keep these guys together, because I do think the Grizzlies are going to be good in a few years. And also they're going to have Justice Winslow, and we don't know how he operates with them yet because the back injury that he had hadn't healed up before the season was suspended. But if he fits with those guys, in theory, he can take some of that playmaking responsibility off Ja Morant, and it could make the Grizzlies interesting. I think it would be a really entertaining series, even though I don't think they really have a chance of winning.
That's and this is what I think a lot of these coaches are going to be fighting for. Like you just mentioned, Andy, how big is it for Memphis to just get those playoff games under their belt? How big would it be for how bad do you think Luke Walton wants his guys, Buddy Hield and De'Aaron Fox and Marvin Bagley III? How bad do you think he wants his guys to get that, you know, postseason experience? I go down the list, New Orleans, all these teams that are kind of in that bubble, all of them don't have experience yet in the postseason. One team that certainly does. What do you think of this potential opportunity that the Lakers, having the best record in the Western Conference, can somehow be rewarded C.J. McCollum, Damian Lillard, you know, a couple healthy players, Nurkic, who's been out, Zach Collins. That seems to be the toughest matchup out of all the teams that are out there.
There's no question, Alan, because getting Jusef Nurkic in particular, but also Zach Collins back, is huge for the Blazers. Nurkic is he's the backbone of that defense. He's a really underrated passer, and he's a good low post scorer. He's a good rebounder. He and Lillard play really well off each other. Zach Collins, you know, he's still coming into his own as a player, but I think they definitely feel like his absence, you know, he basically hasn't played this whole season, was felt all year. And Damian Lillard, he's a top 10 player in the league, but there are players in the league better than him. There is nobody in the league, and I mean nobody, who scares me more, you know, down the stretch of a game in money time with the ball in his hand. Yeah, he is as fearless as anybody in the league. He hits massive shots. He has hit two series-ending shots. He just, that is not a guy that I want any part of in a playoff series, especially if these games get tight. Like, if you're asking me if intellectually I could wrap my head around the idea of the Blazers beating the Lakers, the answer is no. I mean, I think the Lakers are just a much better team than the Blazers. But if you're asking me, would I find the prospect scary of having 5, 6, maybe 7 games that are tight against the Blazers with Damian Lillard on the floor? Hell yes. Like, I want no part of that team. Even acknowledging the Lakers are better than them.
Okay, how about the last team left, New Orleans? I sent out a tweet, AK, about just from an entertainment perspective, right? What team would you think is most entertaining? And by the way, there's a lot of people who say Portland would be entertaining. They would. Like, think of all the compliments you just had towards Damian Lillard. But I think there's something about New Orleans where it's not just – here's the thing for Laker fans. It's obviously not just about Zion Williamson. You have a lot of these young players that we watch with the Lakers for 2 to 3 years that are now getting an opportunity to be some of the main players with the team that they're on in New Orleans. How would you see a matchup like that? Is it kind of remind you similar to what you said with some of the compliments with Memphis, but really they wouldn't be a threat, or is New Orleans a little bit different?
No, they're interesting to figure out, Alan, because they definitely played better with Zion, but better was still just 10-9, and they didn't beat a lot of good teams. They only beat two teams during that 10-9 stretch that were above 500. And one of them was Boston without Jason Tatum. So, like, it's an open question of how good they are. Because, I mean, Zion's impact is real. I mean, their net rating with Zion was, I think, 13.6. That's huge. And, you know, Brandon Ingram, and I've been a big Brandon Ingram fan well before it was fashionable. That guy's all-star breakthrough was real. He played great this year. And, you know, Lonzo actually, once the calendar turned to 2020, Lonzo was starting to play very well. You know, Derek Favors, J.J. Redick. These are all really good. Etwan Moore. These are nice complementary pieces. I don't know how ready they are to really challenge a team as experienced as the Lakers, but stylistically, both of these teams love to be in transition. Both of them can push the ball, like push the pace. It would be a really fun series. But then the storylines beyond, you know, the Davis facing his old team. He's going up, matched on the court with Zion, the new face of the franchise, the kids returning against the franchise that traded him. You know, the perception that LeBron was the one that moved them out. Like, you can even get more granular than that, Alan. Alvin Gentry last season openly accused LeBron of tampering
with his
team. Mm-hmm. David Griffin, the current GM of the Pelicans, that was LeBron's old GM. Like, the storylines for this, it's like an onion that never runs out of layers to peel back. Like, that's the series that you want in terms of entertainment value, storyline, fun on the court, and you're pretty confident the Lakers are going to win. Like, I think that's the perfect blend of all of them.
Andy Kamenitsky, obviously a part of 710 ESPN, but also writes for The Athletic, Jordan Lakers talk. AK, you know, I know I could sit here and I could make mention of, okay, you know, what team do you think will be the favorite when we come back? But let's say outside of the Lakers, Clippers, and the Bucks, when the NBA does return, is there a team that stands out to you that nobody's really talking about or just are on that kind of outside tier that you feel like, hey, they could be a problem or they could definitely be a team that makes some noise come August and September? And I know that's so weird to say, but that's obviously going to be the postseason run.
Well, I mean, I saw a recent interview. I think Om Yong Suk actually did it. Yep. He was on early with you, and he's going to be on the late night happy hour tonight with Brian and I. Busy day for Om. I think he did an interview with Jamal Murray from Denver, and Jamal was saying that Nikola Jokic has lost a ton of weight during this layoff when the season's been suspended. Said they've got like a 4-pack now. Like, he is in incredible shape, and he made it sound like Denver is ready to shock a lot of people and let you know they're a team that people have been waiting to see finally find that, you know, that next gear. I think Oklahoma City, if nothing else, will be a massive pain in the ass to play against. Like, they are physical, they're smart, they're good on both sides of the ball. Chris Paul has had a fantastic season. Danilo Gallinari can be a total pain in the ass in terms of he's herky-jerky and he's very difficult to guard. He racks up fouls. He can put guys in foul trouble. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is a burgeoning star on both sides of the ball. And then what I think is also...
Dennis Schroeder, a good fit. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, I'm not a big Schroeder fan, but he's had a terrific season. He's been really, really good for them this year. And then in the East, man, Toronto, they have been good all year. Without Kawhi Leonard dealing with a lot of injuries, that team is, I think, slept on, if nothing else, to get to the conference finals. Like, they're really confident in the way that they can play. Pascal Siakam is a really, really good player. He is another burgeoning star in the league. Kyle Lowry is one of the smartest players in the league. Fred VanVleet. You've got a lot of guys on that team that have a lot of confidence. They're going to feel like they're playing with house money. Because, you know, they're the defending champions, and everybody thought that they would fall off a cliff, and they've been really good all year. And then I just think that question of how does Philadelphia look with Ben Simmons presumably healthy, but also, you know, what does not playing on the road do for them? You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
They're not going to be playing in front of their fans, but they're not going to be playing in front of hostile crowds either, because Philadelphia has been god-awful on the road this year. So
right at home.
What happens? Mm-hmm. What happens if they play on a neutral site? And what happens if, you know, Ben Simmons is truly healthy? But I think the most interesting teams, Alan, in terms of the, if not spoilers to win a championship, the ones that could make it most most complicated moving forward would either be Denver, Toronto, or OKC.
Andy Kamenitsky, you can hear him tonight, starting at 10 o'clock. Happy hour on the ESPN Los Angeles Twitter page and on Periscope. AK, thank you for doing this, buddy. I appreciate it, and I always appreciate the insight, all right?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
All right. That's Andy Kamenitsky right there. Okay, we got Power 5 coming back, coming up next. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN. All right, just a quick reminder. By the way, when I'm done with this, I'm going to do Lakers Talk on Twitter, Periscope, and YouTube. So Twitch as well. So we'll do it on all those platforms. Be about a half hour or so, but I'll come on right at 9 o'clock tomorrow. Don't forget, Keyshawn, Travis, and LZ will get things starting at 6 a.m. Sedano after that from 10 to noon. Will Kane show, and then tomorrow is Ireland and Ramona. Mason out for the rest of this week, and Sliwa show will be on all week as well. So we'll go 6 o'clock with Crosstalk, and then 6:30 to 9 doing the Sliwa show. So we'll catch everybody up, see if baseball wakes up at all and comes. I think we're going to get baseball back. And I'm going to say that because I think once you start getting these other sports to start lean, I just have this feeling that they'll figure it out. Let's get some Power 5 started. Okay, so fellas, we'll make this quick in the few minutes that we have right here. We're going to rank the sports we want to see come back from number 5 to number 1. Okay? Curtis, why don't you get started? What sport is 5th on your list of sports that you want to see come back?
Is it a surprise? It's baseball.
They're number 5.
MLB.
They're number 5 for you. Yep. Okay? Why are you putting them at number 5?
I mean, even before they showed that they couldn't get anything together, I was like, mm-hmm. man, I'm done with this. The way they handled all the...
I wonder if there's a lot of fans like you, you know
yeah.
what I mean? That
yeah.
are just kind of in their own mind saying, well, screw you if you don't care.
Yeah, and then even before that, the way they, you know, when we started our show, it was the Astros cheating thing. Mm-hmm. And just problem after problem after problem, I'm kind of done with it. I'm just kind of over it.
Jesse, what's your number 5?
My number 5 is the NHL.
Okay. All just right. Because, you got a hockey one.
Yes, I got a hockey one. They're number 5. Mm-hmm. But the play, don't get it wrong, their playoffs are intense. So I'm excited to see the playoffs of NHL.
For me, number 5, give me a little bit of tennis. Let me get some Roger Federer. Give me throw me some Nadal. How about the women's? Women's is amazing as well. They're just as exciting to watch. So I'll take tennis at my number 5. Curtis, what's your number 4?
That one, it gets a little harder after that. Probably NHL, just because I was never much of a hockey guy. So, mm-hmm. you know, it's probably closer to the bottom for me. I can watch it if it's on, but I'm not going out of my way to do it.
That's when you know you're upset at baseball, is when you have NHL. Above you want it. NHL back, yeah, before Major League Baseball. Jess, what's number 4?
My number 4 for me is the MLS. LAFC has right. totally right. changed my view of soccer. You know, I was a fan of soccer before, but the way they do their games is like, and you know, I the board op for all those games too, so I've seen them grow.
That's right.
And I love it, and I've become a fan, so I'm excited for MLS to come back.
All right, for me, Major League Baseball, number 4, freaking figure it out. Number 3, what do you got, Curtis?
I was also going to say MLS. I only just recently kind of got into following the MLS, maybe in the last 2 years. But yeah, LAFC's just kind of really captured this city and really separated it right away. You know, I mean, there was some diehard Galaxy fans beforehand, but they really came in. They came in swinging. It was unfortunate that they pretty much canceled their season before it even started. But
it's good for the city, for both of them. What do you got?
Definitely 3.
What do you got? 3, Jess.
Number 3, I got baseball. Just because I was super excited for the season. I was mm-hmm. I didn't let go of the cheating scandal thing, but I was just excited to get that past us, get a championship back to LA, and then everything halted, and now the players and the owners are at a standstill. I hate them right now, but I'm still high. I'm still trying to hold on hope, so I'm keeping them high on my list.
All right, I'm going to go college football number 3, NFL number 2, NBA number 1. That's how the rest of my ranking goes. Jess or Curtis, give me your last 2.
It used to be flipped, but now it's NFL number 2 and NBA number 1.
Okay, NFL 2, NBA number 1. Jess, finish it off for us. What's your final 2?
NBA number 2. I want live local pro wrestling back. That's my number 1.
Okay, here we go. Pro wrestling. He found a way. He found a way to get. Found a way to get pro wrestling.
Sling finds a way.
Okay, so I think all of us can say this. We could speak for all sports fans out there. We're getting closer. And the more conversations that we're having right now that has to do with that, obviously that's some positive news that we haven't had all that much over the short period of time. Thank you to Jesse. Thank you to Curtis. LA, as always, greatly appreciate you tuning in. We're back tomorrow with the Sliwa Show starting at 6:00.